activation triggers, the capacity to listen, to hear the other person. In fact, there's a lot of discussion about justice and communication and mediation and getting peoples together to create peace in our world. And our charity was founded on the belief that your personal commitment to resolve your own triggers opens the door to healthy listening, healthy communication. So when we resolve the voices of fear, shame, rage, anger from trauma, generally fear, shame, or anger on the other side, when we resolve those and find the corrective solutions to our memories, we're in the present moment and we're able to listen to our partner. So listening to him, I don't have a lot of triggers. So when he's like, oh, you're not, I wish you'd be more loving to me. I'm like, I said, quite honestly, I said, you know, I would love to be more loving to your inner child. And I said, my voice may be talking more to the adult you because I'm trying to keep you in your adult right now. I said, you're regressing back. Oh, I'm a little boy. I need more love from you. I'm like, oh, I could see what happened. He transferred me into his psychoanalyst. Basically, he was wanting me to be a psychoanalyst. And I'm like, this isn't that kind of therapy. I said, this isn't that kind of therapy. This is a different approach. I said, I dropped my voice and I did do kind of what he asked. I said, as much as I would love to parent and hug your inner child, I said, I don't know his colors. And there's only one person I trust to give him the right colors. And it's not your wife either. You know, it's yourself. You have all the colors that he's ever missing. And so it's teaching you to take the time. So I want you to spend time this week in your cabin in the woods, in your waterfall. Take all the little boys to the beautiful waterfall. We're doing a lot of waterfall work these days. You know, wash away viruses, wash away stress, wash away tension, anxiety from your body. The viruses, by the way, are activating the prehistories of immune system compromise. Carrie may want to talk a little bit about that. But the viruses are activating, like the client that had shingles after COVID-19, then she got shingles. Client that had warts or fever blisters got warts and fever blisters after COVID. Clients that has asthma or something like that after COVID got more respiratory distress and tightness in their chest area. Eye infections where they had an eye problem, the eye started to hurt. Where there was a pain in the leg, there was a cyst that had, a sebaceous cyst of some sort that had not been active for 25 years. After COVID-19, it grew like a watermelon. It just started activating. So the problem is the virus is weakening the overall immune system and activating the previous not fully resolved trauma sites or the places in the immune system where it's already been compromised. Now, there's not a nerve center in the body that has not probably had some kind of compromise from some type of memory at one time or another. So obviously our advocacy with HMR is the more you can heal your memories, the more you can clear your activation triggers, the less likely that a weakened immune system will cause any additional problems as it's healing, as it's strengthening. But people are, like the children with the autoimmune stuff and the inflammatory stuff, there's other stuff that was already there before COVID hit that's obviously activating something in the system. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I was told molluscum was bacterial. It wasn't, it was viral. But I worked on a little boy once just doing energy. I was like, I don't know, let's ask what colors he needs. Run the colors of his body. I sent him energy and the next day after 8 years, his molluscum was gone. It was not there. So there is something both about the energy of the technique and raising the overall immune system that does assist in fighting off viruses or strengthening the immune system. So those are anyway, or a couple of things to kind of keep in mind with that. So with him, I dropped my voice. I said, your wife, really, she'd love to be nurturing to you, but if you become her child, I said, what does that do to your intimacy? You mentioned intimacy issues being a difficulty. I said, you're not her equal. She wants somebody that's there for her in her weak moments. And it's okay for her to be there when you need support and help. That's healthy. I said, but as far as healing this number of memories and this complete absence of all parents in your childhood, this is not going to work very well. So we need to have you become your own parent. And he worked on that. He's been doing better since we had that conversation. And he realizes that his work is cut out for him because he's been changing all kinds of people around him into his mother or father over the years looking. The codependent, you know, in my first book, You know, we went through the history in the 70s, in the 50s, discovered addictions, in the 60s, the co-addict, in the 70s, the ACOAs, in the 80s, you know, the codependency concept became popular. Outward looking for our worth and value. But the good thing they said in the 80s, which got us hooked in, was codependency appears to be an arrested state of development. So I said, oh, this is logical. I get this. What's the one mechanism that we're designed to do when we're overwhelmed to protect us from overwhelm? Well, the body mind is designed to freeze consciousness. So, having been a math major at one point, so the equation is, you know, our degree of codependency is proportionate, our degree of outward looking for love and nurturing is proportionate to our degree of traumatization. Why? Because the mechanism that primarily on an unconscious, non-moral, non-judgmental level, the mechanism that freezes consciousness is T minus one, is the ability to pause the flow of consciousness when we're overwhelmed to survive, and it worked. You're all here today, delightfully so, so that we can have this conversation and say you survived, because every trauma that ever overwhelmed you, you froze consciousness and paused. That was a frozen moment of development. Now, some clients, like the one I'm working with, you know, is regressed. He's very regressed into his inner child when it comes to interpersonal relationships. And the psychoanalysis gave him a temporary sort of sponsor for those years, as long as he was there, but it didn't resolve and target the specific memories that created it. And that becomes the kind of conflict with the psychoanalytic model. It doesn't necessarily guarantee that your inner children are healed because you've got a nice, loving therapist. So you can be the nice, loving therapist, but that's not your job. Your job is really to be compassionate, understanding, but to transfer the power to the client and have them find the missing frequencies for love and safety. And they can do that. You transmit the confidence to them that they have the power to do that. Okay, so that was that helpful in some ways to discuss, you know, what we're talking about and how what the philosophy of this is, you know, you're the facilitator. Now, there are times when clients are very desperate. I've had clients say, can I use you as my dad? I said, sure, but understand that it's your image and your concepts of me and your qualities you attribute to me that you are creating a father figure using me, my voice, my office, that's fine. I said, as a temporary thing for now, that's fine, but you may want to update that later on and change the appearance or, you know, do something different, have a different father. Figure. When I did the reparenting exercise, it took me 3.5 weeks to find a father figure that was physically acceptable and safe. And that said something for the severity of the Asperger's from my father. I don't know who he was. I have no idea who the nice little man was. You know, and he's kind, thoughtful, but I have no idea who he was. He didn't do emotions or feelings, and he didn't show affection. So depending on your client's resources, your job increases proportionate to their lack of parenting resources. They may try to turn you into their parent. And so I hear some of you desperately trying to find a way to transmit some kind of safety or calm to your client. I know it's a challenge sometimes. We've used little and given the inner child an animal. They won't trust. One of them said, I don't think most of my inner children are okay, but there's a young one about 5 that doesn't trust adults right now. I said, that's fine. You mentioned your adolescent angry rebellious part. Would your angry rebellious part like to babysit the 5-year-old? Oh yeah, he trusts the angry part. She's protecting him. She's the babysitter. I was like, okay, then allow that angry part for now to, would she be willing to accept responsibility to protect your inner child and use that anger for protection and safety? Sometimes I remind them that Jesus got angry to clean house, you know? If you're Christian or have Christian beliefs, you know, Jesus got used red to clean house, to purify the temple. And then he said, our bodies, we are the temples. So it's okay to use anger to clean house and to be resourceful, to be assertive. And what I tell my clients is you want enough red to be assertive, but not enough red to accidentally vaporize anyone. Okay? So you need your reds. I have clients saying, oh, red, isn't red a bad thing? Like, no, remember, all colors can be positive or negative. Red is power, passion, energy. Black is calm, absolute, elegant. But when used negatively, can be death, or absence, or abandonment, or the void. The densest, heaviest energy in the universe is the black hole. Okay, anyway, that's a little bit. Any questions about that case, or? Yeah, sure, Beth?
Not about what you just said, but you just brought up black also meaning the void, and I know that that's in the handbook. What if somebody says something's colorless? Because I get that every now and then.
Okay, one thing that's a little tricky that I forgot to mention sometimes is sometimes like, oh, it doesn't have a color. I was like, oh, is it clear? Especially if there's violence or something blatant, aggressive in their face, or raging at them, is like, is it crystal clear? They want to see who's coming at 100 yards. They want to see what's going on. So their solution color might be clear, crystal. So what you learn...
It's never their solution color. It's their trauma color.
I'm sorry, what's that again about the trauma?
In my experience, the few times I've gotten colorless, it was at the point of trauma. It wasn't their reframe color.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, there could be possibly an absence of color, because the absence of color would be the complete absence of all emotion, a variant of a black hole. No color. Technically, a black hole would theoretically be colorless. But if you truly took away all color, it's not clear. If you took away all color and light, you don't see anything. You're in a black hole. So one step above that is it's clear. I don't see any colors. But they're probably thinking void, absence.
That's my interpretation. When I gave them a recap, yeah. I went with the void.
Yeah, yeah. Check and see if you go to this history. See if the parents had emotions. Did they have any feelings at all? Did they show emotion? Did they show affection? Did he get hugs and say, I love you? I do that in the assessment. Did they give any hugs or say, I love you? No, they just kind of were there. It's like,
yeah,
okay.
No, the father, he abandoned him, and the mother committed suicide. So
you go. Yeah, that's it. So it's a variant of the black hole. There's nothing. There's nobody there. No colors, no emotions. Yeah, exactly. That's what I look for. Yeah, you're right about that. So in that case, the clear is like, there's no light, no color. It's like, well, you took it a step further. You might eventually identify for you black. Or a black hole, if he's been really depressed. I doubt that they would say depression is just clear, but maybe it could, you know, you can see something I've never seen before. That's where it's exciting. That's why we share these things. There's a new use of color. Interesting. Of course, we're always going to find the one thing Brent didn't experience, and it's 150,000 memories to ask about, right?
And okay, I've gotten three of them, believe it or not. I've gotten it three times already. So.
Three times. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, clear, void. Like, I had a client one day, she said, I'd like to reframe that memory and picture mom and dad not fighting, but every time I try to do that, it just goes black and white. It just goes black and white. I was like, and it freezes. I said, okay. I said, oh, I said, all right. I said, black and white is history, historical. You know, it's like, can't be changed. It's fixed. I said, so what can we do if it's black and white? I said, is there anybody that can help? If mom and dad are frozen and always fighting, do we need new parents? Oh, I know. She said grandmother can do it. She says grandmother has all the colors. I was like, there it is. She got her unconditional love, not from the parents, but from the grandparent. Grandma has all my colors. So she was able to see, you know, grandma has a rainbow. She has all the colors. Let's bring in grandma. That's fine. But colors are quite interesting how people use them, either positively or negative in a given situation. So, well, Susan gave us a case, but then she has not appeared to be able to do the case. I don't think, Susan, are you here? I don't see you here yet. Any other questions? Brent, let's see if we can take a couple other questions between now and then.
I've got a question, Brent. You spoke a few months ago about the Dream Spa from Light Health Research. Can you talk about how you use that? What advantage does it have, and what does it do?
I don't know if I'd want to use this context for that specifically, but it is a photonic light device. I'll give you a couple of liners. It's a photonic light device that recharges the entire photonic field of the body, the toroidal field, which means the field of the body energetically is holographic, which means you could charge the head and the whole body will charge, or charge the feet and the whole body will charge. Because I have two of the machines and I don't like to stick my head too close to it, but I do use it quite a bit. And the theory is as we get older, the light field of the body weakens, diminishes with age. And if you can recharge it and then just maintain it periodically, like a half hour charge every few days or once a week, something after you're recharged, then they've used it for instance, it's the one machine they found that actually caused bone growth after bone had deteriorated in the jaw from dental trauma and surgery. It actually caused some bone regeneration. So they were developing a variant of the device an attachment to put around the jaw to help bone growth after dental surgeries and traumas and things. So you can check it out. Life Health Research is the website. They have a new machine coming out. Apparently they've updated it with some other features. But it's a specific LED kind of light sequence. It's not AC, it's DC. Tesla picked the exact wrong electrical charge for lights and light fixtures. And so I think something volt. I forgot we are AC. All our power in our houses is AC. And it's the most bioincompatible frequency that could have been chosen. So who knows if that's the cause of some distress in our physiologies as we get more sensitive. I've wondered about that. But this is in DC, and it's a set of photonic LED lights that generate a series of alpha, theta, gamma, different kinds of frequencies. They have different settings, and so you can always check them out. I just check out Light Health Research. If you want to talk to me about that, Scott, we can maybe do that, but I'm into marketing products.
Sure.
Talking here.
Sure.
Brent, is that similar to John of God's crystal chakra?
His device, I'm not sure. I'm sure that the guides and entities used the frequencies of the quartz crystals to transmit something similar. And I'm not sure. I think it might have been LED lights behind the quartz crystals. The giant quartz crystals amplified it, but I think the same concept, the LED lights, it's probably technology coming from the same source. But that was like a $30,000, $15,000, $8,000. They have different variations of that machine, very expensive. I think this one's running $1,200 to $1,500, something like that. They have discounts sometimes in sales. So I like it because it's portable. They have a portable thing where you can carry it around with you, go on trips and travel. I bring it to my retreat. So when we do retreat next year, retreats resume in March in Tucson of next year. You're all welcome, but it's limited to like 25 beds, I think, or something like that, 25 rooms.
When can we sign up?
Call Antoinette. Antoinette is our retreat coordinator still. She's doing it long distance, but she's like, oh, goody, I'm thrilled about that. That means you're coming to Tucson, Antoinette. Yay, for retreat. I'm paying for your flight, so stay calm. So we will do that in Tucson next year. I have two light machines. Actually, you have one and I have one, right, Antoinette? You have one of the machines still?
I have one. Yeah, one of yours died.
Yeah, one of them got killed by the floods in Louisiana. It got drowned in the Louisiana floods. Actually, my sisters just didn't know. They probably could have saved it. We just changed out the pillow, and they're like, oh, no, it was contaminated with swamp water. It's like, okay, fine, whatever. Anyway, neither here nor there. But, yeah, so it's an interesting little machine. Whatever we can do to increase the light and energy right now, meditate, increase your meditation, increase your chanting, increase your everything right now, whatever you can do to boost your immune system. The times when I've worked long distance on wound sites has been pretty effective with most of the people I've been targeting lately. So one woman's foot healed from something very quickly. Viruses, you know, warts, fever, blisters, things like that. So we can transmit energy for site-specific purposes too. I just picture them holographically in front of me and scan them like they're there. And as soon as you get permission and enter that space, you will get data or information. But it would be easier if you had been practicing this with me for a few years and actually practiced on real clients in front of you, because they transmit, some of the more violent memories transmit very clear signals. Once you know what that feels like, you can scan the holographic person and get the same information. But if you don't know that anger, rage is a tremendous fury, burning, you know, anger is an excessive heat, irritation is uncomfortable heat, frustration, you know. So there are degrees of heat, degrees of cold, degrees of sensations. And once your hands start talking to your brain more quickly as you practice the technique, you'll get all kinds of information about the client. Like, oh, this is that brother you talked about. It's got a recurrence of cancer. You're grieving that already. You're really sad about that in your right eye. So, you know, they confirm the data that we're getting energetically. So we're not really as limited as we think by space and time.
So we can project our hand support and so forth through the computers?
It's not the computer doing it. I mean, you may, you can do it through Zoom. I do phone, I just do phones. I don't do the Zoom thing except for a client in London right now.
I use Doxy, but that's the way I'm having to operate right now.
Yeah, you can, by your intention. you're making the link by your voice. By your voice, you're mm-hmm. creating the link. The voice surrounds them. You know, people feel very safe and control of the telephone. They don't like it, they could hang up. So they feel like they're in control of the relationship in a way, you know, in some ways they're creating their own safety. Like, oh, that's obnoxious. I'm not going to stay for that long. Hang up. You know, so, but yes, yeah, so we do have, I've been scanning people since the first day. People that I know have worked with me previously, they just hear my voice and they go into the safe place. They go into alpha theta. The technique induces an alpha deep theta, alpha deep delta technique, you know, state from our research. It'd be interesting to be able to do, it would have been interesting to do a long distance session. I hope to try that, Karen, in our research. Do a face-to-face session and do a long distance session and see if there's a difference between the therapist's brainwaves and the client's brainwaves. That we need to check out. I'll pay for that myself. You know, I want to see what happens with that. Because I believe we're going to see corresponding correlations, even long distance, between the therapist and the client, you know, experiencing the technique. They're going to see brainwave changes in both. I get calmer as the client. When that client got agitated and said, you need to be more loving, I got very calm and focused and dropped into a calmer, younger state to create safety, enhance his safety. Because he was obviously saying, I'm not feeling safe. I don't feel nurtured or protected. And that was his whole childhood. And I'm like, okay, well, let's work on that. But let's have you come in and do that for your inner child. So during the week, you don't have to have Brent there with you. You want to have your adult parent self there with your own child. So anyway, yes. So yes, Mary, we can do that, you know, long distance. And
okay. Cause I have a client who has a lot of war fear. He can easily go back to, began with an A country.
Afghanistan.
That's the one.
Yeah, there you go.
Memories of being in the guard shack that is, you're there by yourself.
Now, there is an exception. So I've been trying to work with a client long distance that was referred to me during COVID and is just chronically depressed. And I don't think he feels like it's sufficient to not actually be in person and be experiencing the technique. So he's actually flying in the next few weeks to begin work with me in person and just feels like he needs the physical contact, the boost of some sort in person. And I think there are people that are in such dire straits, we're going to have to use all of our resources. And I don't think there's one client, Karen and I know this one client, we turned away because I saw a bipolar episode beginning. He wanted me to meet him and begin working online. We talked about this client previously. Wanted to begin working online and began and actually went into a manic psychotic episode while he was talking with me, and it continued for 3 days and his wife was getting upset. So I had to refer him. I said, I can't begin this therapy and work with you in this kind of a state. And then found out some other things from the wife, like he's still drinking alcohol and smoking pot. And I'm like, those are alcohol and marijuana repress alpha theta. And this is a client who's asking me to begin his acute care with acute bipolar illness, with history of psychotic hospitalizations. He's asking me to begin this on the telephone. I'm not gonna do that. I will not take that on. The liability is huge, is great. And he started decompensating the minute I started, almost within hours, and got aggressive with me actually verbally. And I'm like, I am not going to take, I said, as much as I'd like to be able to help you, I'm referring you to a local practitioner. I said, I'm not going to continue this or resume. I said, so what are the limits? This is level 3. What are the contraindications? You know, when do we not do it? If another woman called me from Europe and said, I'm at death's door, I have an eating disorder, not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Not going to take that on long distance. I'm not going to do that. I said, I can't be responsible. And I can't see how you look. I can't monitor. I wasn't doing Zoom. I was just doing phone. But I was like, I'm not going to, and if I'd seen her, like she's really, you know, the bone structure showing and she's like in critical, she needs hospitalization. I don't have the contacts or the resources in her country to provide that. So I, you know, you have to protect yourself. And those that are the most severe, the borderlines, have no problem. This guy started to get aggressive and it says, it feels like you traumatized me. And I'm like, I'm not going to say any, I didn't respond much to that. I said, I'm doing my very best to provide resources for you long distance. But I said, he started getting borderline-ish and aggressive, you know, like, you know, this is traumatizing me. This isn't helping me at all. You know, I'm really taking our air. And I'm like, yeah. And then he's drinking and smoking in the evenings and like starting to destabilize. And even if he wasn't still, it takes can take 2 years for the alcohol effects to get fully out of the system. Concentration, focus, memory are impacted for 2 years post-acute withdrawal. So anyway, he was definitely decompensating and getting irrational thinking, and it was losing coherence. And I'm not taking that kind of a case. You have to make an immediate local referral to healthcare or hospitalization or something of that sort. So know your limits, know what you're comfortable with, know your resources in your area, and you can always consult me, or I know where some of the DID specialist association specialists are in different cities in the country. But in this time of COVID, where phone is and long distance therapy might become more normative, there are just clients that's fine, but they were borderline and inappropriate for phone sessions long before COVID hit. And just because COVID hit and they can't do face-to-face therapies right now doesn't make you the appropriate therapist to compensate for them and to step into the breach. They may not be stable enough for you to do this work with them.
But for clients who are generally more stable and less intense, it is okay to just project a sense of safety?
Yeah, well, you use your voice. Make sure I enhance their safety. So what you do with clients for safety, make sure they have number one. So level one is have a safe scene. Do you have a safe place that you can go to? Yes, okay, let's make sure you have a safe scene. If it starts to get more serious, make sure there is a dwelling, a domicile in the safe place or around the safe place, like a beach house, a cabin in the woods, a Swiss chalet where they can go to, a cave in the mountains in Tibet, some magical place in the forest where they can go to and sleep peacefully and dwell. So the more compromised the sense of safety, the more at level three, we teach you an enhanced safe scene. And if you want a little preview of level three, read Lynn Cardjala's book, K-A-R-J-A-L-A. She's in the level three manual. But Lynn Cardjala lives in Atlanta. She's right now she's still the president of ASAP. And is a big fan of HMR. She's a big promoter of HMR. I just have to call her because I want to give discounts to the energy psychology people during this time now that trainings are online. But so Lynn has a book called, and you can give it to your clients that have any kind of significant dissociation or trauma. I think eating disorders can benefit from it. It's a little book called Understanding Trauma and Dissociation. It's on Amazon. I don't think it's on Kindle yet, but it's on Amazon. And it's a lovely little book. And in it, she describes the quintessential safe place, where she says it should be at least 400. I don't go quite as extreme as she does, but it should be at least 450 acres. Should only be a one-story building. My clients sometimes like a mountaintop, like a tall three-story building, like a treehouse where they can see in the distance if anybody's coming, you know, and people bring in drones and security systems and animal totems to protect them. So you can increase the safety in your client. Do a meditation on safety with your client if you need to. Like, let's go to your safe place. Let's build a safe beach house that only you know about. The beach house is always in present time in 2020. It is not in the past, but you can bring the parts from the past to live in the beach house and be in present time. They can have their own, each part has its own bedroom. How many of you have seen, raise your hand if you saw the Harry Potter movies. How many of you saw Harry Potter?
Some of them.
Okay, a little more than half. Okay. So in Harry Potter, I'll just tell you about it. They'll have like a little pup tent for like three or four people. But when you walk in the door, it's huge. It's like a mansion. It's like a camping mansion with tables and dining rooms and chandeliers, camping chandeliers hanging all kinds of stuff. So I tell them that your little garden, and so it's in the garden, little garden house, your beach house is like a Harry Potter house. If you go in the door, it'll have as many bedrooms as you need. It can have bunk beds if they want to sleep together, the kids. They can have their own personal rooms. One of the clients this week said, nope, there's like 80 of them and they all want individual attention. I was like, okay, well, we need our little Harry Potter beach house here. So it's going to have 80 rooms and they can, oh, some of them want to sleep together. That's fine. So that, you know, they can sleep however they're all safe. It can be magical. So you can use whatever the client's spiritual and emotional resources are to create that enhanced safety. Now in my safe place, I'll give you a little bit about my safe place. My safe place is more like a safe country. I use the four directions. I teach you the medicine wheel at level two. and it's in the medicine wheel, but the medicine wheel has four elements as well: earth, fire, water, air. So, and the earth element, I have like nature forest. It's Hawaii, like Maui, looks like a rainforest. In the south with fire, I have like a castle, like a Scottish keep that's built over lava fields. So there's lava at the bottom. So Pele, the goddess of fire, dwells at the base of my house with the fire. So I can access lava, fire element for anger issues or power. If you need power, red is power. I go around to the blue. The blue side is more ocean, beach, waterfalls, huge waterfalls of blue, ocean, blue water. So the water element is in the west. And in the north, I use the air element. So I have a mountain in Tibet with a cave in it. And it's golden Mount, I forgot the name of the mountain, Kailash. There's different ways of pronouncing it, Kailash.
Oh, Kailash for Shiva.
Yeah. And so it has a cave in it. And it, when the light hits Mount Kailash, you know, it's golden. It just goes gold. So the yellow golden light, I have a mountain. So the air element up in the air, the water for purification, the fire, if you need to purify, fires purify too. Fires cleanse and purify. You can use it to release anger, burn things up. Or if you want to bury it in the mountains or rainforest, whatever, I have a rainforest from Hawaii. So I use earth, fire, water, air, and my central safe house for me is a tree house. Some of you have, I'm sure. We like tree houses. And this tree house is like a Harry Potter tree house. So there are three levels below the earth, one upon the earth, and three above the earth. It's like my tree house is the seven chakras. And each place below or above in the tree house has a function. So I often sleep in the top upper rooms, you know, sort of mental, but it's also intuitive, spiritual. You know, so there's lots you can do. I'm just giving you creative ideas to work through with your clients. Create an enhanced safe scene with them. Have the waterfall. The nice thing, if there's dirtiness, purification, there's illness, diseases, viruses, it's nice to go under the waterfall. I forgot who I sent to the waterfall every day this week. There's somebody, some people had been to Brazil, and you know the waterfall in Brazil. Those of you that were in Brazil, David, you're
sure. Ignacio.
Yeah, and so that beautiful waterfall and the fluorescent blue butterflies, you know, that fly around.
Yeah.
So spirit guides, angels. So that beautiful purifying waterfall is very powerful for daily cleansing, renewing the immune system. And there's something about water and pain resolution. If you have a client with chronic pain, be sure you teach them the waterfall. The waterfall is a magical waterfall that can become, we sent that to you in an email, maybe you saw it. The waterfall can be, use that with your clients with anxiety. I have clients that send email me back and trainees that have sent me back and said, that waterfall is so great. I don't really have that anxiety. Whenever I think anxiety, I go to my waterfall. I stand under it for a few minutes. I let the anxiety wash into the earth and release into the earth. And then I continue. If I need other colors, I replace with colors. Reset my boundaries around me, my protective boundaries. And then I'm good. So that's a couple of things about... yeah, about enhancing safety. If they really don't feel safe to you, you know, it's tricky. If they're in the same, I'm accepting a few clients that are coming in, you know, very, very limited, but, you know, according to my astrologer, I'm COVID immune right now. Anyway, I may have already had it. I took the antibody test, so no antibodies show up. If I did have it, there's no viruses of any sort in my system currently. Nothing showing up, so. Anyway,
what about using crystals or oils? Has anyone tried asking clients to have that for an enhanced grounding?
If it's a resource the client has,
yeah.
Yes. Well, of course, you haven't been to my office, then, have you? You don't know about this office. So, I wish I could turn. I could give you all a trip if you want before the end of the thing. If I can turn my computer screen around and turn off the lights, I have a collection of. I have a collection of fluorescent minerals that'll freak you out. I'd be interesting to see what it comes across on a computer screen. So before we end today, I'll give you a fluorescent light therapy. How's that? Because some of them are quite phenomenal. And so I don't talk to clients. I don't use it formally in my work. I personally have a belief that I had a lifetime as a crystal. Actually, I was told by a gentleman. He's like, yeah, you were a healer on this continent in ancient times, but don't worry, you're not the one that blew up the continent. I was like, like, oh, good. You know, so anyway, but I do seem, you know, what I tell people when I do, if you come to retreat, we have a day of crystal healing where we do only crystals on one day of retreat. I have a box of 14 padded labeled crystals. And crystals are nice, but they're generally fixed at their particular frequencies. So the tricky part with the crystal thing, now, you know, Hildegard von Bingen, one of the great mystics, mm-hmm. you know, would channel which crystal essence you needed to heal, like sulfur. Sulfur is used, the sulfur drugs. Sulfur was used for a long time for healing the nervous system and autoimmune disorders and things. But she'd also do crushed emeralds, crushed rubies, if you have resources to crush such things. You know, azurite, blue, you know, she worked a lot with crystals and stones. And while I don't think I'll use this context David, you sent me a request about pinks and greens. Was that a question you had about crystals, pinks and greens?
Yeah,
There are stones that I bring to retreat that are from Tanzania. It's called Tanzanite. But the guy got into trouble from trying to copyright the name Tanzanite. He calls it tangerine. What it is cherry and emerald quartz. Were you sent to me by Jerry Thomas, David?
Yes.
Yeah. So Jerry has a cherry and an emerald quartz for me, for his heart. Because there's a cherry quartz and an emerald quartz. And if you look up tangerine, you'll get this guy's name, and he's here in Tucson. And he mines it out of Tanzania. And he lived there for years. He's a nurse. But they've given him a heck of a time because he tried to trademark the name of a crystal so he could sell it versus the mineralogist, like, you don't just give crystals names because you like to give them a name. Anyway, he kind of got his hand slapped about that. But the truth is, when I saw it, I was like, oh, look, the heart meridians, pink and green. It's cherry because it has, what does it have in it? Lepidolite. The cherry quartz has lepidolite, but when it's fused with quartz, it becomes deep cherry color, pinkish cherry. The green one, that's a deep green, looks, he calls it cherry quartz and emerald quartz. It's really quartz with lepidolite in the pink and fuchsite in the green, which is a green silica. And when they fuse, they create an emerald green quartz and a cherry quartz. So actually one in each hand when I was having some heart stressors of some sort, I was like, okay, I held them in my hands and I felt them balance each other out and I felt the heart go calm. So I gave the guy the feedback. I said, you need to be making this available. And Tucson at the gym show 2-3 years ago was the first time it had ever appeared. Now they're making jewelry out of it and all kinds of stuff. But as far as that goes, yes, there are stones. It's like having a live-in therapist, quite honestly, that has a very specific frequency contribution to make. So you can integrate, there's not much I haven't tried to integrate in my work when it's appropriate. For myself, since I don't live with a therapist or a body worker or practitioner at this point, my crystals, last night I slept with scolecite, and when I got off the bed, if I put them next to your face, you would think they had been on a stove. They were hot. Scolecite connects you to other dimensions and realms and the angelic realms, and I work with this technique. My middle name is Michael, so I attribute a lot of this to Michael. So the scolecite was hot. It's a white, mica, lustrous stone that connects you to higher dimensions. And for some reason, I need scolecite right now. I think we need to stay as high as we can get when things are, when we're trudging through the muck and the mire down here politically and socially and immunologically. But scolecite seemed to be very helpful right now. So yes, I do things. I have 3 boxes of stones next to my bed. And this room has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, has about 40 stones, not including the spheres, which also fluoresce, you know. So indirectly, you can use 4 crystals and create a medicine wheel for releasing energy into the ground. You can do it by intention. And quite honestly, you are a crystal. Einstein said matter is slowed down crystallized energy. You would be able to see me if matter had not been, light had not been crystallized enough to become matter. So matter is crystal. Matter is slowed down crystallized energy. And they now think the human nervous system works kind of like liquid crystals. Some of you carry, some of you know about cranial sacral therapy and the cerebral spinal fluid that carries all these messages through the nervous system and works with that. It's liquid crystal. So your body, and they're learning more and more about the cell and how it functions, has a lot to do with this liquid crystal information. So whether you create it as a separate object or you're talking about crystallized energy, the colors, in a sense, are sort of statically grouped crystallized energies that contribute in certain ways, like red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. What's interesting is if you read, I'll give you a little tip. If you read all the crystal healing books, what they're doing is they're looking at the color of the crystal based on the chakra system. Red is power, survival. Orange is creativity, reproductive consciousness. Yellow is relationship, solar plexus. Greens and pinks are the heart meridians, are the colors for the heart. That's the heart meridians. The heart is traditionally green, but the feminine meridian is pink. So green and pink balance the heart. Throat, sky blue. Indigos and violets, third eye, intuition. To white light, golden light, crown, divine light. The crystal qualities they attribute correspond to the values of each of the chakras in the body. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that's what all the crystal books are based on. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's a little tip. So really, you don't have to use the crystals if you have the client that can identify their personal. Do you realize how scientifically precise and amazing it is that the person within milliseconds can come up with their personal missing frequency to insert into a static form to restore that static knot, ball, lump, knot, knife, to restore it to white light? Mm-hmm. When you put in the missing frequencies. Now, for some people that are exhausted, I think putting a crystal, I've seen people, I did a workshop, crystal workshop at the Infinity Foundation in Chicago like 20 years ago. And I occasionally brought them out and did them in public, you know, before I was trying to go mainstream with this, I guess, and not look too woo-woo. But anyway, we did it on one woman, and we did a layout on her on the table. She came in really in pain on the massage and had laid down on the massage table. And when she left, she wasn't using her walker. She didn't need her walker. The pain was gone. They're like, oh my goodness. So you can use other resources. So I say, whatever you're drawn to, whatever your client is drawn to personally, allow them to use those resources. I was told years ago I could integrate Bach flower essences into my work. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm trying to go do Bach training Bach flower essences. So whether it's tinctures, I was also told I have enough crystals that I could do tinctures of crystals that could be used to assist and put in missing frequencies. So whether you use a light machine, whether you use a crystal, whether you use a sound machine, I did something here in Tucson called harmonic acupressure, where they built speakers into a massage table, and the guy did kind of an acupressure technique on you after he took a history. And he and his wife had beautiful singing voices. I think they're sort of a Pleiadian or something, but that's another discussion. But anyway, they had beautiful singing voices. And they stood at each end of the massage table, and when he went over your body and felt there was a frequency missing, he would start toning, and she would tone with him, and it would come up through the massage table. So let me tell you, your chakra got a little attunement when they toned together. So, but you and I are doing this with HMR. We're simply asking the client, now that you have the scene corrected, what colors do you see in your frame, or what are the colors that were missing from the original, that if you move them through your body, you feel safety and the pain releases. And the good news is I can feel a release, whether you're using a color or sound. And we have people that say, can I use the sound instead of a color? I said, sure, absolutely. Oh, okay, great. Let's do toning instead, do sound. There's no limit. HMR is just one approach that can integrate a variety of languages. You're skilled in training. Some of you are Barbara Brennan trained and can do other things. Some of you are trained in healing touch and energy release and lymphatic releases and all kinds of techniques, primal scream work, gestalt therapies. I'm doing a little more with gestalt stuff these days. I'll have to think about how I integrated that recently, but I did do something that was definitely a gestalt with one of my borderline type clients. And, actually, I literally did. We were having trouble getting or having true feelings and releasing them about a family member. And I literally brought the chair over and had her. She's very concrete. She's bound to her feelings. So I had her visualize her mother in the chair and start talking to her as though. So it's a voice dialogue technique too. But gestalt preceded voice dialogue. So anyway, had her talk to her mother in the chair, and she activated the feelings and was able to get some relief about that. I said, you need to tell her, stop yelling at everybody else on the street and get your feelings out towards your mother. So let's talk to her about what the rage is really about. So I kind of made my hand her mother's face and we talked to her mother. And I kind of had to cue her in how to do that. She really was not educated on how to express emotions appropriately. So you can use whatever skills you have and integrate them into your practice. Some of you have very advanced shamanic and healing abilities. I'm excited because that means I can retire someday and you all can take over and maintain things, keep it going, spread the word. Okay, other questions? I don't know if Susan, did Susan ever appear? I'm going to bring up Susan's question. Susan's question was she had a client that was using very aggressive solutions, like wanting to stab, murder, kill, you know, like you do get a sense of your client's moral development. Okay, it's true. Now, HMR works mostly with the subconscious. If they say, I want to blow my ex-husband the hell up, I like take all the time you need to do that. So HMR is not generally bound by moral precepts. If you're that angry at the sucker, you probably need to release your anger in HMR. Otherwise, the next guy you date is going to be the victim of your unresolved rage, which is what happens. We bring it into all our future relationships. So you want to keep enough red to be assertive, but not enough to accidentally vaporize your next boyfriend or girlfriend, right? You know, the next person you're dating. So, and so about these aggressive solutions, if it turns out that I'm not sure why a sociopath would necessarily be seeing you for therapy, most narcissists and sociopaths don't believe they need therapy. So they're probably not going to be seeing you for very much. But if their abuse, I would investigate in the history. If your client is using very aggressive solutions consistently, I would go deeper and investigate where the rage is coming from. And then we have, and I think I've shared this, some of you may not have heard it, but we have the anger talk. That anger gives you the illusion of power, and as a solution, the ability to fight back. But at the time it occurred, you stored the anger and couldn't fight back. And now you're left holding this body of red, fuming, burning rage or anger. And I said, you know, it's not even the most protective frequency. Actually, red is the lowest. The red, what is it? Oh, infrared doesn't even damage photographic film. Is that the one that doesn't damage photographic film? So I was like, red is not a very powerful color in its true essence. I said, the most protective, what is the most protective color? Well, in the heavens, a blue star burns much, much hotter than a red star in astronomy. But it's also true as we go up the violet. And then the white light itself, the purest radiant white light, is the most protective. So sometimes we have a talk with a part that wants to stay angry. And I'd say, you know, and this is about solution. I know we've talked solution. I probably gave most of you this and you may have heard this one. I had a client, she said, I said, what would you like to do with your ex? She said, I want to stab him, shoot him, burn him, and flush him down the toilet. So I said, oh, okay, well, take all the time you need to stab, shoot, burn, and flush. And she was smiling because most of them know it's holographic space. If you're doing your job, the adult knows you're, and the adolescent or the child knows they're there with you. And so kids love it. They can get angry at mom and dad and blow them up if they have to. And they start laughing and they wouldn't really blow up mom or dad. But they can have the feeling like I would. If they're that angry, sometimes they need to blow up the pile of anger. So let's blow up their behaviors. If they have trouble, like, oh, I'm Christian. I don't blow up people. I was like, okay, then let's put the nice, loving Christian person on the side of their soul, and let's pile up their behaviors in front of you. How big is the nasty behavior pile? Oh, it's huge. Like, gone, blown up. Shh. Easy. So you can do the traditional separation between person and behaviors. If you have to do a discernment to release the energy, and sometimes you have to do that kind of discernment to be able to release that. So where was I at? There was a case I was working on. I just blanked.
The rope. You're going to go to the red rope.
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you. So, Antoinette heard enough trains. You already got it down. Antoinette, you did the train. So what I said that anger, stabbing, shooting. I said, after about 5 minutes, she was still smiling. I said, how's it going? I said, you're still stabbing, shooting, burning, and flushing the ex? Oh, yeah. So we're still going. We're going strong. And I waited a couple more minutes. And I said, how long do you want to do this? She said, forever. I was like, oh. So this is the discussion Susan really brought up. So if your client is in a continuous state of rage or anger, and they're venting, because they are. She said, oh yeah, they want to blow everybody up. They want to just shoot and stab and burn. I'm like, okay. I need more information from her about that client to see where to go exactly. But in general, we have the anger talk. Like, to stay in anger is to keep your body, like a client I have right now that had the return of a huge cyst from 20 years prior after having COVID, had a return of this giant cyst suddenly growing, is on the part of the body associated with one of the parents and a huge betrayal. Huge betrayal from the family member. And so what what we're working on, and it's, you know, she's going to get some therapy for it. You might still have to do the surgery on it. But in the meanwhile, we don't want this thing coming back. We want to go for the source. The site is exactly correct, near the power transfer point at the right age, near the point 17, 18, 19, where power transfer didn't, went the opposite. Stay here, take care of me, do this for me. And the rage and the anger. And the parent to this day, whom this individual is still taking care of, is still a raging, demanding narcissist. So as soon as COVID weakens the immune system, what comes up? All the unresolved anger and rage comes up. Cysts start swelling. They don't even know what it is. They're looking at it like, maybe it has some irregular cells. We should do chemo and surgery on it, do something. This thing is still growing and expanding. We don't know what to tell you about this thing. They don't know what it is. They think it's harmless, but it should be removed because it's obviously creating an aesthetic problem for her and her leg. You know, and she's like, we need to take this off. And then others are like, no, it could be cancerous. So she's kind of freaked out. But she doesn't, the general feeling I get is it's not a major threat at this point. But regardless of what I think, we need to do everything in our power to find the emotional source of this. And sure enough, the site location, the intensity, and the recent conversation with the parental figure went straight back into rage. And I hear my client holding on to the rage, does not want to let go of the rage. Now, I will say this, if it goes beyond normal historical parameters, and you cannot find a justification for that degree of rage and violence in your client, I believe you might be looking at intergenerational or karmic debt. And you may have to ask, when you feel this anger and pile it up, can you ask and see how many generations this thing goes back in time? Mm-hmm. And they'll give you the distance. They might even give you the generations. I see 5 generations. I see a huge line going back. I said, oh, well, in this lifetime, you may volunteer to help heal the intergenerational trauma patterns of the family as well. I said, and that's okay, because I'm a pretty good matrix thinker. If I can't find in the history a justification for that degree of rage in any of them, we'll keep looking for it. We'll keep looking. We'll go to the body and ask the body. If they don't remember, the body remembers. The body always remembers. But in these cases, you'll have trouble finding it in the current body a little bit. And like, it's there and it's anger, but I don't see a particular scene. Let's pile it up. How many generations does this go back? Oh, I see. I said, if you gave this back to the previous generations, to their higher selves, so they can release it and heal it, how much is left that's yours? She says, just a little tiny amount, a little bit. I've done this in several major cases where we release the majority from the past. Like Eriko in Japan, they believe in the karmic and the intergenerational. They believe you can walk on the subway and you pick up, you know, spirits and ancestors and stuff. They're big in Japan, they're big into intergenerational releases and karma and things of that sort. So that's something to keep in mind, like your Japanese clients. They're pretty big about that. Most of the times they can just walk, they'll just say, oh yeah, I see myself in a past life and this is what was going on. They'll just pop into that so easily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the they call the spiritual medicine becoming popular. So they're talking about, they see the spiritual attachment from discarnate or even the living people.
Yeah.
And there's a therapist who is doing a really good job of combining the releasing energy-wise with the hands-on work.
Oh, nice. Energy and, yeah, good, good. Yeah, and HMR fits in. We'll talk about that. At level 3, we talk about different techniques for using color, like a golden mesh of light can be used to remove any energies not native to the person's system. That's the language you use. Michael is the owner and guardian of the golden mesh of light. And if you ask to move a mesh, a net of light through the whole system of a client and remove any, and you might want to do that for yourself some days, but remove any energies not native to your system, implants, introjects, whatever you want to call them. Ask that any things like that that might have slipped in on you at a weak moment be removed or cleared from your system. Increase your self-care and see how it moves through the body. They'll tell you if it gets stuck somewhere, if there's a memory coming up. We do the same thing with Fortune 500 companies. You know, if they try to move success, the image of perfect success through their body and it stops, there's a message or belief that's contradicting their intentions. So you can do the same thing for spiritual blockages. I think it's all the same thing. It's memory. It's memory. It's trauma. In the past, oh, the devil made me do it. Yeah, but it might actually be a memory from your great-grandfather being passed on to you. It doesn't have to be a devil, but it could be an ancestral family miasm or trauma. You know, that's another thing we might discuss later, how these patterns are passed on. So anyway, you want to clear that through the system. And so the back to the red card story. So, you know, the husband pushing him up the hill, and you know, some do the Sisyphus thing. I want him to roll the steel, the ball, giant ball up the hill, and unless he apologizes, can roll back down. He rolls it back up and it rolls back down. So then you just leave it with him rolling and doing his thing until he heals that or make amends. Some people hand it back to the higher self of the individual life. But when I told my client with the stabbing, shooting, burning, and flushing, I was like, you do realize, of course, and Susan was asking about her client, you do realize anger, rage, and hatred next to love are stronger than some of the strongest cards or cables that attach you to an individual. And if you maintain that card of rage or anger, you're in an intimate relationship and you're spending all that energy in a relationship with that person that day. You're in a profound relationship with them. I was like, really? Do you want to spend the rest of the day with your ex or hating all your family members in a negative state in the past? Or do you have plans for your future? Where would you like to go? How would you like to spend your day? How do you want to use your energy? Because if you stay tied to that, so I said, sometimes, and this comes from my priest days, you know, sometimes we release the anger, not because they deserve your forgiveness. What's the line? Sometimes you release the red and the black, not because they deserve your forgiveness, but because you deserve to be free of this attachment to their negative energy, which is going to drag you down, lower your immune system, weaken your whole body, and drag you back into pathology. Because most cancers and pathologies and illnesses are inflammatory related, inflammation. It's the anger base. Eating disorders, clearly, majority of eating disorders are going to be tied to anger and power. Control issues, power and control. Unfortunately, the only battleground you had to fight with your mother, perfectionistic mother, was your own body, and so the body paid the price. Inflammation, anger, rage. When you hold on to that, cysts, cells start mutating, and the cysts come back. They start growing. Fibroids start growing under rage. I've had clients who said, when I meditate, they go away. When I stop meditating and go back into anger about my ex, they come back up. And the interesting thing with one client, they only came up on her left side. And it's because just as she was leaving her ex-husband, finally, she placated him and had sex with him one time and got pregnant. And I can tell you it was the left ovary that generated it. And all of her fibroids, everything that grew was on her left ovarian side. And she said, oh, I do know where this came from. Just as I was leaving my abusive ex, I got pregnant. And listen to her language. Who did she assign the anger to? Her next line, that's why the client is the genius. They're so brilliant. They don't even know they're brilliant. In the next line, she said, I got so angry at myself for doing that to me. What did she just do? She took all the rage she accumulated from 17 years of marriage to a physically, verbally, emotionally, and sexually abusive husband when she was so proud of herself for getting ready to leave. She took all of that accumulated rage and anger and directed it right at her left ovary where the pregnancy was generated. And she was growing fibroids and things faster than they could remove them. And they didn't know why, it was only on the left. And when she figured it out, she stopped it. She stopped it. I wish I'd kept in touch with her, but it's been like 22 years probably since I did that case. She was sent to me by a nun who saw that the pain in her body was memory-based. So, cysts, fibroids, growth, cancer tumors. Guess what, folks? That's why the software was developed. We got to map this stuff. I find this whole cyst thing fascinating. I'm like, oh yeah, it's right there. It's very interesting because even long distance, I can scan the body and feel where these things are coming up as they're talking about them. And it's very interesting. It's very confirming. And so it'll be interesting to analyze, like you said, Karen, to analyze what the T-minus one moments, but where they're showing up in the body and what the feelings are and how they, and what the ages. I want to see the age correlations with the emotion and the site locations and see if there's as we start to combine the data, see what shows up. What illnesses are generating what pathologies in what parts of the body?
Say that again. What do you want to see?
I want to see what illnesses are generating what pathologies in what part of the body. That's why it was developed. That's why they developed this software. To show the doctors, you want to know why she has cancer, why she has this cyst, why this weird thing is coming up. Look at the memory history here. But the thing is, we'd like to also see it reverse itself before we even have to do surgery. We like to see things start reducing. And some things are going away that I'm working on with my clients. And when I see that left foot, I'm like, oh, that's your mother. Let's work on your mother stuff today. And by the next session, she's like, that thing on top of my foot is gone. It's not there anymore. There's just, it's healing. It's all covered up. So do not think for a moment that the work is not impactful on the immune system. It's huge. One memory has the power to generate all kinds of pathology, and most of us have hundreds, thousands of memories, and they get together sometimes to alert us. So illnesses are sometimes the warning flags, you know. So as far as aggressive solutions go, general principle, trust the client and see if they start laughing after they've blown up the X or whatever they've done, because you know they've released the rage and the anger. I had one woman, she said, oh my God, she says, my mother was, pardon my English, everybody, cover up your ears. She said, my mother was such a bitch. She says, I don't know what to do. She says, oh, I know. I'm going to call the dog catcher. I was like, oh, my goodness. She really does believe her mother was like a dog. So she said, I'm calling the dog catcher. I said, okay, if you do that, call animal control. What happens? And she says, oh. She looks shocked. She says, look, they put my mother in the animal control vehicle, and they're driving away. She did it kind of as a joke. But she says, it's driving away. But look, she's howling out the back window. She's trying to get out. And she started laughing and she said, I can't believe. She says, I've never laughed about my mother's illness or pathology. She says, I don't think I can look at her. She's still alive. I don't think I can look at her without laughing right now. I'm going to think of the, you know, the animal control vehicle. So, you know, whatever solutions you have to use, generally we'd like to see it reduced from red to black to for the client's sake. And if you can find a gentle way of having a conversation about the disadvantage of maintaining ongoing continuous low frequencies in your body, have that conversation. Like you do realize when you stay in rage and anger, you're staying attached to them and you're playing on their level. Some people are sociopaths, they probably say, I like being on that level. I like beating the crap out of them. I want to hurt them. I have clients that say, I want to hurt them. My borderline client that I'm having trouble, was having trouble releasing her hugely abusive mother, was I could tell that she has stayed with some of this pathology for 8 years. She will not release the rage at her mother. And she doesn't realize she's very regressed. And so the child mind is having trouble reaching the maturity of the adult mind to realize the disadvantages of staying attached, except that she's so connected to her physiology. When she goes in, immediately when she goes into rage at her mother, her hair starts falling out. It produces so much cortisol and adrenaline, she loses her hair. So, and she's vain. She's like very centered on her beauty and her looks. So she has to stop raging, otherwise her looks will pay the price. So she has her own set of checks and balances in her system to keep her from raging, but she will not let go of the rage. I'm working on it. And like, you know, so she's trying to be a born again something at this point, born again therapy survivor, and find a way to forgive her mother or release it. And with her spirituality may be our only way. So anyway, that's a couple of things about the extremes of solutions and what you'll be looking at with some clients. But you have to adapt. Like you said, the crystal clear, no light at all, no colors. Oh, okay, the absence of all emotion. How interesting. Make a note of that. I file that away when that occurs. That's good. So things like that you see that are exceptions. Any other questions? Now, let's see. David, you were texting me with some things. Let's see if there's still, you have a couple of questions for me. I don't see them anymore. You can ask them. I can hear you, though, David, if you have questions.
Yeah. So my question is that some of my sessions, the patient really gets deeply involved in them, and so they really only clear one or two memories. Mm-hmm. And then I have other people that will clear 7 to 10 memories. Yes. Anything? I mean, just per client, and just stay with them and do what's right for them.
Yeah, clients process very differently. Those that are kind of ADD-ish and are kind of hyperactive will circle around. So they're going to kind of talk their way into the memory and have to navigate slowly, and you have to make sure they get to the solution. And remember to always bring the color through the body. They forget, move on to the next memory. Bring the color solution to the body. I have a client, for instance, when I work with her, it's almost always like a level 2, and she'll do 2 or 3 per session. And that's enough. That's it. And it's deep work. Yeah. I mean, because she's processing, oh, wow, I forgot she did that to me, and she did this, and this is it was so horrible. Like, let's pile all of that up. Let's pile all that up. So that might be a level 2. Level 2s can be huge and can have a lot, dozens, hundreds of memories included. And they'll talk about it. It might be one level 2 that you do in the whole session. That's fine. Yeah. But I have the extremes. I have one client, she does 2 or 3 single memories in the session. And she's very loquacious, so she likes the details and how it affected her in processing. And I have another client, he's not done less than 12 to 20 memories in every session. And he's been in recovery for like 15 years, did all the drugs, did everything. He's like, I am ready for recovery. I'm tired of living in this state. I'm ready to go. He knows all the memories. He sees his body like a transparent hologram. He's like, it's slightly above my heart to the right, bordering on the edge on the inside lip. It's black, it's silver, has a little bit of a line running through it, and it makes me uncomfortable. How old are you? 7. Can you see where? Oh yeah, those kids at school were tormenting me. And just like that, boom, boom, boom. So get ready. I mean, some of them are going to move quickly. The 12 steppers are, I promise you, the fastest you'll ever see. They've done everything but reframe the memories and put the solutions in the body. And they are going to hit it. They're going to play you like a Stradivarius. You know, others play you like a fiddle or a ukulele. One or two little sounds come out of the instrument, and others, it's a Stradivarius, unbelievable. Go up, go down, inside, see the colors. Oh, look, my cranial bones realigned. At one point, look, the cranial bones just realigned from reframing that memory. Like, oh my goodness, all right. Yeah, now the lymph flow is better on my right side. I learned that from my yoga training. You know, kind of like, okay, very good, keep going. You know, like, let me know when you're tired, and I'm like hanging on to the horse. You know, it's like you're riding a wild horse. You're going wherever the client takes you. And once you get the feel for it too, and he got the feel for it, he's like, oh, I don't need all the details. So I just need to know basic site, location. It's more insight. He does really do a great job of somatic detail initially. It's slightly up to the right of my heart. It's slightly to the left of my heart. Now this one's in my stomach, in the lining of my stomach. This one's outside my stomach, pushing slightly in. I mean, every memory is three-dimensional, precise, detailed. I'd really like to videotape him as a training example for the future, because he's completely, he shows you what HMR is at its best when it takes itself over. And you, my friends, are around along for the ride. And you don't have to do very much. He comes up with his own solutions. Now, a couple of memories have come back, which he was surprised about. And he was like, I'd like to just not have that happen. And then he realized not having it happen wasn't the same as having enough confidence in himself to not let the event happen. And it came back up. He's like, oh, I need to stand up for myself. I said, that memory, we've worked on that memory. He says, yeah, I remember that. I said, but you tried to just have it not happen and they didn't bully you. He says, no, I don't need that. I need more confidence and better boundaries that I stand up for myself and I don't let myself be manipulated. And the minute he did that, then it was released. So if memories do come back, we might have had the wrong solution. Or he might have different parts that require different solutions. You worked on the first part or two, but you didn't work on the second two parts. Like Carrie was talking about working with kids. Have you talked about that sometime? You know, but using like different solutions for different things that they want. I like to do that. Then I like to do this. I like to have this happen. Maybe we can do this. Also in a sequence, different things. Like if you had it not happen, but then the trauma was when they open their eyes and they hear the nurse discussing whether the arm has to be amputated or not. Well, you can picture it not happening, but that still occurred. Like that discussion was scary and horrifying. So that solution might be, let's talk about it. Did they save the arm? Yes, they did. Okay, well, let's have them change their language and say, you know, it's pretty serious, but we think you're going to be okay. Or maybe have your fairy godfather, mother from the future come in and tell you you're going to be okay. Play with space and time solutions. So we work with that. But different parts of the memory can, like in one, it doesn't happen. But if it did happen, we would like to have it happen this way. Or if it did happen and it happened that way, I'd like to see them respond this way to me. So sometimes the trauma is the event. Sometimes it's your feeling. Sometimes it's how the other people mishandled it. So the same event can have three or four different solutions if there are different parts involved. So if it comes back up, don't beat yourself up. It doesn't mean it didn't work. It means there's either another part or they tried their first solution, gave the, I'd like to see mom and dad not fight. Can you picture that? And you're waiting. And you're like, are you having a little difficulty with that? Well, yeah, every time I try to picture them not fighting, you know, it disappears. I have another memory come up. I said, they did this a lot. I said, yeah, I said, it was very sweet of you to try to upgrade mom and dad. But I said, do you really think you're going to? No, I don't think this is going to work. I think I need new parents. Okay, well, let's do the reparenting exercise. And like I said, 65% of people fire one parent and upgrade the other. Just so you know, they fire one and upgrade the other. So that's okay. It's all reparenting. But they can flesh that out over the next few weeks. Encourage them to picture what would the healthy mom do? If you have a memory, what would the healthy dad do? So those are good things about that. And I diverged from your question. David, did I answer your question? I'm not sure I got to it.
Oh, yeah, you answered mine, yep.
Okay, any other questions?
Thank you.
Sure, how are we doing? Oh my goodness, how time flies when you're having fun. Okay. Other questions, comments, cases? Carrie, I just wanted to comment to people. She's been doing this with kids, like six-year-olds and all kinds of kids, and they're just having a field day with colors. You are so gifted when it comes to use of colors. And so on, and breathing colors and playing with colors. Anything you want to comment about that? Jeanette, are you there? Carrie's mic is on.
Yeah, so in the last 2 weeks, I've had five kids that I've done this on for their first time between the ages of 6 and 9. Mm-hmm. And just, what are the odds, right? You know, everything stacks up like it should. And it has been such a trip because I'm having to do this by phone with a six-year-old. You know, I have to remind them I'm the doctor that has the beach scene in her office. So they don't, you know, they're really not that connected to me. They're six. Mm-hmm. And getting them to be able to stay on the phone. And one of the six-year-olds, when we were done, you know, she had to reminded me who I was. And at the end, she said, what is the exact day that I get to see you next? It was just so cute because she has had a lot of aggression, a lot of anger, you know, hard on her younger siblings, just really out of control. The parents are pretty young and really beside themselves with trying to get this anger under control without putting her on a ton of meds. She has ADHD and we were really trying to minimize the amount of meds that I'm prescribing for her. And it's been just a trip. So I've been so happy to be able to do this.
Nice. Good job there. Yay. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has a unique niche. So good job there. Keep us posted on that too. Kids love colors. There's a 14-year-old, I think I mentioned the case, 14-year-old that didn't really want to be there. She's looking at her nails, 14 years old, didn't want to be there. By the time I finished with her and I just put my hand on, that's where it really was helpful to be in person. She wasn't moving too much, but I put my hand on C7 and her eyes were not in rapid eye movement. I mean, she was like this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, she's witnessed a really violent, it was aggressive in her eyes. And I was like, she's witnessed something really aggressive. And I just said, is there something you witnessed that was unpleasant recently? And her mother had hinted at it. She said, yes, my brother got on drugs about a year and a half ago and he pulled a gun when he was high and threatened me. And she was like, and when she said that, she got more active. And I said, okay, if we could change that, what would you see? My brother gets help sooner. He doesn't pull the gun. You saw it slow down. You saw it stop. I said, what colors do you move through your body? She saw like a violet color, moved the color through her body. And then it started up again. And my hand's still on C7. I was like, okay, is there a second memory? Yeah, he relapsed about 9 months later. And he got high and he pinned me to a wall and was choking me. Pinning me to the wall, I said, and you're feeling terrified, like I'm gonna die. So if we could change that scene, and again, you saw it drop, saw it ease up as she moved the colors through. That's why I wanna videotape a couple of those kinds of sessions. But the kids are amazing, the kids are so great. And anybody before 2021, you're gonna see visceral eye movement and reactions in their body. They are much more energy sensitive. If you do the energy part in C7, along with this, prepare yourself. You're going to see how the technique works energetically. You'll see it come up, and you'll see them calm down, and you'll feel it. You'll feel it happen, actually, when it occurs. So if you have any doubts about that, it'll strengthen your confidence and your practice of the work. It's just how the body works. And at the end of the session, you reminded me, at the end of the session, her mother called me a little later. She says, you know, she said she wants to be the first person to see you when you come back in 2 weeks. She says, oh, Mom, I want to see the color dude again. I was like, so I became the color dude. So, you know, as long as you're not the witch doctor, I guess you're probably going to be okay for the most part. The fundamentalist families might come after you. They almost came after me one time. Somebody inpatient called me the energy dude, and that was bordering on, you know, spiritualism. I did get called the spawn of Satan once. I told you about that. I called the spawn of Satan once, and it was in a group. It's like, why would you say that? Because the only people that can heal are from my church in Arkansas.
That's right.
Like, oh, wow. So I'm sorry, all of you here with me today, you're all going to hell because you're not from that church in Arkansas. It's just not going to go very well. So anyway, when it comes to solutions, you know, be able to work with that. Any other questions?
Yes, Brent, did you fully heal anyone with HMR from Crohn's or gluten intolerance, multiple allergies?
Yes to Crohn's. Yes to gluten, multiple allergies or multiple memories. So I had a woman who was given, she was on, they were trying 6 different meds for Crohn's, horrible pain, couldn't eat anything, came in, worked with me, given her all these diagnoses, the meds weren't working right, came in, worked with me in 2 sessions. She worked with me for a couple of sessions, but she wasn't getting the core. Then she had to take a break to go to school for a couple of weeks, and then she came back. Did 2 sessions. By the end of the second session, the Crohn's pain was gone.
But Julie, how are you?
Julie the Fever did a session. So if the Crohn's label for the autoimmune disorder in that part of the body is tied to specific memory generators, when you resolve those memories, if it's in a timely manner, it can reverse itself. I've seen it. So she has no
symptoms.
The funny part is she couldn't hardly eat anything. And after she did it was covert memories of sexual abuse that were completely repressed. She had not remembered the abuse to her gut, pelvic region. When she reframed the 2 memories, all of the pelvic pain is gone. And she was an event planner. And she was kind of frightened about, was it really healed? And one of her wedding clients, little bride-to-be, fiance couldn't be there with him for choosing the foods. And the young girl said, I need somebody else to taste these with me. Would you taste these foods? And she did. She tasted all the food she asked her to and had absolutely no food reactions. Unheard of. She called me and said, the Crohn's stuff and the food allergens are gone. They went with the reframe of the memories, but they often happened tied to and around the dinner table and things tied to eating and food. So you have to look to what were they eating when the bad things occurred. Same thing happened with the psychologist in Chicago. What's in the client's stomach when the bad things are happening? If you're eating macaroni and cheese and dad's strangled, this is the client that Donna Guzman, a psychiatrist in Chicago, she wrote it up as a level 3 case and presented it to us 1 year. She had them dialogue with the antigen, but she found the memory. How old are you? 5. Where are you? The dinner table. What happens? Daddy's drunk and he starts strangling mommy at the dinner table. What happens then? I'm afraid we're all going to die. So if we could change that, what would you see happen? Daddy gets sober sooner. So what were they eating at the dinner table that day? Macaroni and cheese. So she wasn't dairy gluten intolerant. She was macaroni and cheese hyperreactive, hypervigilant. And so she reacted to the dairy gluten responses in the body. This opens up a whole can of worms because who even remembers what they had just eaten when they suddenly and mom and dad are strangling each other, or mom's unconscious on the floor and dad sitting on top of her. Who knows what was in the client's stomach at that moment? So it's a little tricky. We're going to have to kind of work with the body and look around. But I think a lot of allergies are probably tied to the context in which the trauma memory occurred.
So how do you dialogue with the antigen?
I'm not quite sure how she did that, quite honestly. I think she said, when you think about, you know, when you think about gluten, when you feel the burning, I think she did the level 1 access And mm-hmm. so when you feel the response, what is that like for you? Tell me about that. What does that feel like in your body? Is it a burning? Is it a tightness? Is it a combination of things? And step into it, access, maybe access the antigen to see where she can locate the memory. And once she did that and stepped into it and dialogued, then she got the memory or series of memories. So yes, I've seen allergies go away, weird allergies to her people, and weird reactions stop. We had a client, a tick went away. He had a facial tick. And what happened was when the tick started, because somebody just told me about, what's her name? Billie, is it Eilish, the singer at the Grammys?
Yeah.
She's like all over the internet now. She's like one of the top singers in the country. She has Tourette's. And you can see the ticks when she's trying to, and she's an advocate for people, kids, and with Tourette's. But she did, her first video was just done at home with her brother as the producer kind of thing. And now she's like all over the internet. She's amazingly gifted. But she had Tourette's. So a guidance counselor said, the kid said, can you help me stop this tick that I have? Because every time I do that, the kids in class, when I walk in, they start doing the tick to torment me because they know I'm going to start doing it. And so he said, well, okay, when you feel that in your body, where do you feel that? Well, it's in my mouth and neck, on this side, on the left. You know, how old are you when you first feel that? About a year ago. Can you see where you, yeah, I walked in the classroom and it was just suddenly there and I didn't notice it before. So we could change that. What would you like to see happen? Walk into the class with no tick. Can you picture that? Yes. What colors do you see? Ran the colors through the area. So he said, run it through your body for the next few days. That moment, the tick stopped, never came back. His classmates stopped mocking him because he wasn't doing it anymore. No, not all of the ticks went away, but if you think about it, damn, hell, crap, oh my God, what does that sound like, folks? You've been through my training. What is that? Welcome to T-1, ladies and gentlemen. So one thought I had is that some ticks are not ticks, they're being maintained by the fact that there's a trauma T-1 moment tied to the tick. So all I can tell you is if the tick is tied to a T-1 moment, try reframing it. I had a very severe Tourette's guy with a lot of ticks. It dropped, first session, it dropped by 30%. Second session, another 20%. And then he moved away or something. I forgot. He didn't get to keep working with me, but he was excited. He's like, yeah, it's still dropping. And he plans to do more work with me in the future, he said. So we'll hope that happens. But I've seen some of it stop. So some of Tourette's is a Tourette's. It's PTSD maybe from the Tourette's that encoded as the damn hell, oh my God moment. And if we can reframe that and put in a calming color or have them breathe a calming color, some ticks will go away. So keep me posted on that if you get to try this out with kids and have success with that. But that tick, if they stopped and was not there anymore. So, okay, folks, any other questions? So stay healthy, breathe color, meditate, send light. Any other comments or questions at this point? Good to see you all.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All good. Thank you.